One of the ways campaigns raise money from their supporters is to sell them T-shirts, buttons, bumper stickers, mouse pads, and a host of other merchandise. Many of these items are endowed with bold red, white, and blue and found on street corners and campaign rallies with the slick typeface of one candidate or the other. Senator Barack Obama has a white sun in a blue sky peeking over a red-striped horizon. Senator John McCain's surname breaks through a simple blue background in large white letters. Today we talk about the retail offerings from the candidates. What's the most interesting piece of political memorabilia you've bought or seen this campaign season or any other? Give us a call. 800-989-8255 is our phone number. You can also send us email talk@npr.org, and you can join the conversation on our blog as well. That's at npr.org/blogofthenation. Steve Heller keeps track of political inventory for a blog in the New York Times called Campaign Stops. He's also co-chairman of the MFA design program at the School of Visual Arts in New York City and author of the visuals column for the New York Times. And he's with us from NPR's Bureau in New York. And nice to have you on Talk of the Nation today.
Hi, Neil. Nice to be here.
And political junkie Ken Rudin boasts an extraordinary collection of political junk memorabilia, and he's still with us here at the museum. Ken, thanks.
Hi, Neil.
And Steve Heller, what does merchandise say? Tell us about a candidate, if anything.
Well, I don't think it says much about the candidate. It says a lot about whoever's merchandising the materials, except for the fact that this year there has been a unique change in the look of political campaign material with Barack Obama. Whoever is running his design campaign is doing a very beautiful job of keeping it consistent, keeping it modern, and keeping it sharp.
I look at the blog where you had various people reviewing the candidates, and they were very impressed with Senator McCain's, the kind of material he was offering, too.
Well, they liked some of his merch a little better than Hillary, let's say. But all in all, I think most people were less excited about the overall design aesthetic that pervades the McCain campaign.
You also noted that Senator Obama's his website is the only one to put in a disclaimer that some items are backordered, which, whether it's true or not, you say is a brilliant retail campaign, reef tactic.
Right. And then I found out from people who wrote into the blog that it's actually true.
Well, even if it isn't true. I mean, it's one of those things that's a great idea to put in anyway. As you looked at the merchandise, one of the things that was noticed is that there's a higher end towards the Republican candidates that Senator McCain, for example, offers polo shirts.
Yeah, well, it's fitting. Republicans golf more than Democrats, so he offers a lot more golfing paraphernalia.
And at the same time, as you just suggested by alternative, Senator Clinton, of course, when she was in the campaign, and Senator Obama, were, much more like the T-shirt market than the polo shirt market.
The T-shirt market and the beer mug market, as opposed to the champagne glass.
When did the hoodie become a standard item of campaign apparel?
I think this year. I never saw a hoodie before. In fact, I never even knew what they were called until my son brought one home last year. So this is a new development that has hit street culture. More and more fashion companies are producing hoodies and selling them for a lot of money.
If you've seen Bill Belichick on the sidelines of New England Patriots games, well, put sleeves on that thing that he's torn off, and that's a hoodie.
That's a hoodie.
Yeah. Ken?
And he was cheating, by the way, when he did that. there's a lot of things that I've been collecting since 1966, and I have 75,000 campaign buttons, and a lot of that are adorned in my office at work. But there's something
I feel
that,
sorry for you.
Well, yes, it gets worse.
Yeah, you should feel sorry for his wife.
California recall, when everybody tried to run, including Arnold Schwarzenegger, there was a woman named Mary Carey who was running, and she was giving out campaign thongs. And so I had the misfortune of opening up a package on my desk when there were people in my office, and a thong popped out, and I tried to explain the best I could that I collect these things. Embarrassing moment.
Yeah, I've heard that excuse before.
We're talking with Steve Heller, who is the visuals columnist for The New York Times and has been keeping track of campaign merchandise this time around. Here's an email. It was sent anonymously. I bought a T-shirt for my six-year-old that reads, Bill Clinton for First Lady. Awesome. She's still wearing it. So I was so pleased that the front page of your site, you said the cleverest piece of campaign merchandise you ever saw was the shoe with the hole in it from the Adlai Stevenson campaign.
I love that shoe. I was 6 years old when my parents gave it to me. I think they even put it into my skin. That's how supportive of Stevenson they were. But I kept that for years and years and years until finally one move, it just got lost. But it was a brilliant co-option of what could have been a negative.
It could have been a negative because he was being portrayed as, well, cheap, I think is the word.
Frugal is the word I'd use.
He was photographed with his legs crossed, and there was a big hole in the bottom of his shoe. And the Eisenhower campaign in 1956 came out with a button, "Don't let this happen to you," with a picture of the shoe. And Stevenson responded by using that almost as his mascot.
He did. It was brilliant. I mean, it was a total branding campaign before the word branding became popularized.
Here's an email we got from Chris. I purchased a Ron Paul silver coin just before the factory that produces them, Norfed, was raided for doing so. It's already tripled in value. I didn't know Ron Paul had silver coins available.
I didn't know that either. But I, in the first or second blog that I did on campaign materials, I said I'm covering the three candidates. And, of course, a lot of people wrote in and said Ron Paul hasn't dropped out of the race. So I went and found a number of people who were doing grassroots Ron Paul materials. And he probably has the most diverse group of people who are producing very individualistic, very custom-made materials. So I wouldn't be surprised that he also had a coinsmith.
Let's see if we get Rochelle on the line. Rochelle with us from Kensington in California.
Hi. I collect all kinds of political things, but the most interesting things I've collected this year are a onesie for my daughter, born on Super Tuesday, appropriately enough, that says Mommy and Me for Hillary. And I got from a rally a Hillary Clinton nail file done in the very – with a – kind of E.E. Cummings script, and in brown and blue, very modern and in colors.
So you thought the Clinton stuff was pretty good this time around?
I did, although she was, I guess it's a little feminized, so maybe that appealed to me more than some of the other candidates, although I've noticed a lot of friends getting the My Mama for Obama things for their children, so maybe that'll take off.
And Steve Heller, one of your reviewers, in fact, said complained about the Clinton material. It looked like it was all designed for women.
That's what they were complaining about, yes. But, you know, I think there's another phenomena here, and that is they're printing and producing so much of this stuff, and somebody's going to win and somebody's going to lose, and as we know, Hillary is out of the race. Things are being done more functional so that you can use them after the election is over. And that's where you get hoodies and onesies, and it just becomes part of your fashion wardrobe.
Well, that onesie is going to be stained, I suspect, before too long. Ken?
Well, I was just thinking of some unique things that candidates have tried to use over the years. When John Hines was a senator from Pennsylvania, his campaign button was actually a pickle that had Hines on it. When Al Lowenstein was running for the Senate, Al Lowenstein, the anti-war congressman from New York, his button just said 007. He was number 7 on the Nixon enemies list. And but more upsetting, when Bernard Epton was running for mayor of Chicago against Harold Washington, who would become the first African-American mayor of Washington, of Chicago, the Epton campaign surreptitiously had a button of a watermelon with a slash through it. This is 1983 and not 1953. It was very uncomfortable and ugly. So sometimes you could be very clever, and sometimes you could be just brutally racist.
Yeah,
and sometimes you can be too clever for your own good. Right. The one I love the best is Eisenhower's suspenders, "I support Ike."
Here's an email from Ed. I enjoy the Nixon Now More Than Ever bumper sticker I picked up a few years ago. That's irony is, of course.
Well, my favorite Nixon button is it says from 68, it says the I in Nixon stands for integrity. That's a great one.
I used to wear a button during that campaign, 4 more years, and it was a rat committing suicide.
Well, then you get that unofficial stuff that's either put out by somebody else or, you know, indeed, enterprising entrepreneurs who think that they can make a quick buck making fun of somebody else's campaign.
It is a very entrepreneurial business. I mean, you walk around Union Square in New York, and there are tons of unofficial campaign materials, and they're bipartisan. So whatever your proclivity is, you can buy something that seems more customized than what the campaigns are issuing.
Here's an email from Linda in Charlotte, North Carolina. I still have my McGovern Eagleton bumper sticker and my Whistle for Wheeler whistle. He was the former mayor of KCMO. I think that's Kansas City, Missouri. Forensic pathologist, doctor, lawyer, Indian chief et al., she said.
There used to be a congressman from North Carolina named Nick Galifianakis, and his name was so long he needed 2 buttons to have his names on it, which is true. But, of course, if you lost one of them, it made absolutely no sense. Who's this Anakis guy who's running?
What I am not happy about is that buttons have been replaced by stickers. Round stickers that you put on your clothes. Sometimes they tear the ruin the fabric. Sometimes they don't. But I always loved the idea of a button, and the button that I loved the most, and again, it's Adlai Stevenson, was a reticulated button that said Adlai when you turned it one way and gave his lovely visage when you turned it the other.
Huh, one of those holographic ones?
It was fake holography.
I think it was before holography was a word. Here's an email from Suzanne in Concord, New Hampshire. I'm a Democrat. My husband's a Republican. This year we divided our loyalties between Obama and McCain. My husband was very active in the New Hampshire primary campaign. He was rewarded for his efforts with a bright red ski parka embroidered on the back with Team McCain in huge yellow letters. Thank goodness spring has finally arrived up here. I don't think I could have taken another day with him in that jacket.
Well, it's a good indication of whether you want to go out with somebody.
It probably is. And here's another email, this one from Sasha in Chicago. Couldn't help resisting sending this email regarding Obama merchandise. Unofficial, however, there's a graphic artist here in Chicago who has taken it upon himself to produce and distribute the most attractive, catchy, edgy posters promoting the Obama campaign over the past year. I have never in my life spent any significant money on campaign merchandise, but am eagerly awaiting delivery of my $50 Obama poster from this artist. And we've gotten a lot of emails about this this sort of underground Obama campaign memorabilia. Have you had a chance to look at it?
I wrote in the first blog that I did about posters that were done by artists on their own, Peter Max, Andy Warhol, and Shepard Fairey, who did this Obama piece. Interestingly, with Shepard Fairey's piece, he's a street artist. He's done a lot for skateboard culture and the like. And he did a very beautiful poster. But instead of the Obama logo on the button that Obama's wearing, Shepard Fairey put in his own logo. So it's a product placement for a political campaign poster.
Let's see if we can go to Donald. And Donald's with us from Boston, Massachusetts.
Hello.
Hi, Donald. You're on the air.
Great. Just going back to the late 1950s and early 60s, the I Like Ike button was very popular. And then shortly after Jack Kennedy was elected, a new button emerged that said, I miss Ike. And then in small print it said, hell, I even miss Harry. I don't know if you remember that one.
I have that.
Ken says he has that one. It was like the bumper stickers, I'm from Massachusetts, don't blame me.
Got it.
All right. Thanks very much, Donald. Appreciate it.
You bet.
Here's an email from Mark. I had a great idea last night for a set of Joe Lieberman steak knives. They're designed to be used in the back.
And he better copyright that soon.
Yes, I think so. Here's one from Andy. I have a 2004 button from the Musicians Union showing John Kerry playing electric bass. And this from Kurt in Renton, Washington. I seem to collect third-party candidate wristwatches. I have one each for George Wallace and Ross Perot. Do I have the complete set? By the way, the Perot watch functioned appropriately as it runs when it feels like it.
I was going to say, there was a Spiro Agnew watch that went backwards in 1968. There was also a Spiro Agnew rolling paper, which I never had personally, but somebody told me about that.
Oh, yeah, yes. Great. Could have been. Steve Heller, thanks so very much for your time today.
Thank you. This was fun.
Steve Heller, co-chairman of MFA Design Program at the School of Visual Arts and the visuals columnist for the New York Times, with us from our bureau in New York. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Ken Rudin, this piece of news, a statement in from the Obama campaign on Jim Johnson. This was one of the three people the Obama campaign had selected to select the vice presidential candidate, and he was then charged with being a lobbyist. And, quote, Jim did not want to distract in any way from the very important task of gathering information about my vice presidential nominee, so he's made the decision to step aside that I accept. We have a very good selection process underway. I'm confident that it will produce a number of highly qualified candidates for me to choose from in the weeks ahead. I remain grateful to Jim for his service and his efforts in this process. That from Barack Obama.
Not so much a lobbyist, but he received excessive compensation when he left Fannie Mae, and also he perhaps got some favorable loan information. So he had become a distraction. The Republicans were jumping on it. It was on the front page of the Washington Post, New York Times today. He said that the last thing I want to do is become a distraction. So Caroline Kennedy is still on that vetting committee, along with Eric Holder, a former deputy attorney general in the Clinton administration.
And for the District of Columbia. And let me ask, is there a selection committee on the Republican side, so far as we know?
There is. It's a short list. They try to get somebody younger than John McCain, is my understanding.
It's going to be a long process.
Narrow. Neil Conan.
All right. Ken Rudin, thanks very much.
Thanks, Neil Conan.
Ken Rudin is NPR's political editor. You can read his Political Junkie column at npr.org and visit with him every Wednesday here at the Newseum on the Political Junkie segment on Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan, and this is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And take over this beautiful land.